If you think back to American history class in school, you might remember learning about the British colonies in New England, the Pilgrims, and the Mayflower. That's because, according to our next guest, American history has so heavily focused on its Anglo roots. But the United States has much older roots that trace their way back to Spain. And in her new book, El Norte, The Epic and Forgotten Story of Hispanic North America, Carrie Gibson documents the sweeping history of Hispanic North America. It's a largely unacknowledged part of our nation's past that Gibson says holds important connections to our present. Our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke with her more about it.
You're writing about 400 years of history here, and you start, though, in modern-day Nogales, which is right here on our southern border in Arizona. Why start there?
I wanted to start in Nogales because it's where my own journey through this book sort of began, because there was a lot to research and investigate and see. I'd grown up in Tennessee and Georgia, but I didn't really know Arizona or a lot of the West. So I went out to Arizona in 2015, and I happened to sort of go with the person I was staying with down to Nogales. And as I was going down there, I saw the security fence. I saw, you know, the border crossing. And it really struck me. It's like this, you know, this is so important to the story I'm about to write.
Yeah. And you kind of make those connections throughout this book, like to a modern day border town and the hundreds of years of Hispanic history behind it. I want to ask you also, why hasn't this been done before, I guess? Why hasn't anybody documented this, hundreds of years of history of what you're calling Hispanic North America?
Well, certainly within sort of academic history writing, there have been some books like this, but they tend to be more regionally or state focused or location focused. And I've been living abroad for 20 years. And what really struck me is how I felt like the conversation hadn't moved on about the Hispanic past. Like I felt like I was rehearing things I'd heard 20 years ago. And just the question to me was, why is this not a known part of U.S. history? You know, why is the New England narrative still so, so predominant? And yet at the same time, we have this enormous national conversation about immigration, about speaking Spanish, about different groups within the U.S. So I just sort of felt like the time was right to revisit this whole topic.
Yeah. So there are, like you said, so many Hispanic influences on North America, on geography, on culture, on governance, on language. And those things are still taking place today. But how do you tie it back to events as far back as Christopher Columbus?
I think it's kind of a way of thinking in some ways. So people have the urge to want to have history be chronological and to unfold and to go from stage to stage. But it doesn't really happen like that. I mean, obviously time moves forward, but events kind of overlap. And so what I'm trying to make sense of in the book is this overlap. And if you think about history as these kind of overlapping lines or overlapping, almost like waves, then the story makes more sense to kind of link Columbus to the present day, you know, that these things have unfolded over time and these connections are centuries old, rather than this happened and then it ended and then this happened and it ended. So I'm trying to give a sense of that continuity. And if we take a step back and we look at that continuity, then all of a sudden there's a bit of a different picture. You know, it's not all of a sudden the people at the southern border are somehow foreign or interlopers. You start to see a more hemispheric point of view, like, wait a minute, this, you know, I mean, certainly in the West, this was all part of Mexico, and before that it was part of the Spanish Empire, and before that it was obviously different indigenous empires and places. So I think that's one of the sort of thrusts of the book, is to try to put forward that wider point of view, you know, both historically in sense of sort of time and events, but also in connection to today's, you know, very urgent topics. These things are connected. There is this sort of longer history.
Yeah, yeah. You hear that, especially from people in our state, right? That their families lived here long enough that they were here before it was America, when it was still part of Mexico. There are lots of places like that where you've seen many different flags fly, I guess, and that the boundaries of the maps have moved a lot. So when you look at it from that perspective, does that change to you the conversation we're having today, or should it?
I think it should. I think there's this idea, or it feels this way anyway, as presented by the media, that there's the U.S. and then there's everyone else. It's like, Well, actually, we have a lot of things in common. We, you know, a lot of the same sort of historical trajectories affected the U.S. as other places. And I think perhaps it would raise a bit more maybe empathy and understanding of some of the problems that other countries in the Western Hemisphere and the Americas are facing, because some of them aren't that different to the U.S.
Yeah, there was so much violence in all of this and in all of this history and claiming territory, taking territory, claiming a land for their own. There were wars. Do you think that that violence has informed or even resulted in some of the problems we still see today?
Oh, definitely. But I don't think this is anything that's unique to the Spanish conquistadors. I think this is the hallmark of European colonialism. So, you know, you can look at what the English did in New England and along the Atlantic coast to the indigenous people there. You can look at how, you know, the Spanish interacted with the native peoples of California and then of New Mexico and Arizona and all through the West. You know, absolutely, this violence underpins the creation of the country that we see today, but also all the countries of Latin America. And so when I mention commonalities, you know, we have to look at these sort of violent ones too. You know, in the settlement, in the colonization of the United States was violent. And those scars are definitely still there. And they play out in many, many different ways.
Yeah. So obviously you talk about Hispanic history here, the word Hispanics in the title of the book. And there's a lot of debate now about what that word means and who identifies with it. So what is it? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, it was really tricky working with that and making that decision to use the word Hispanic, because it is not very in use right now. You know, Latino, Latinx is far more acceptable. But the reason I chose it is partly to kind of push at these definitions, because one of the things about the U.S. that's quite unique is that, you know, if you're Cuban or a Mexican or a Chilean and you come to the U.S., you're often flattened into being Latino. Yet, yeah. At the same time, being Latino is also a very important political identity and social identity now, right, in within the U.S. But it is something that is very much part of the U.S. And so by using the word Hispanic, I kind of am testing where that word still fits, but also I want to use it as a way to you know, link in kind of the most basic sense of its meaning to back to Spain and back to this kind of other story of settlement colonization within the U.S. as well.
Yeah. All right. Carrie Gibson is the author of El Norte, the epic and forgotten story of Hispanic North America. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.